with Curtis Lewa.
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Lewa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Lewa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Lewa from WAPC Radio.
Curtis Lewa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Lewa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Classic Led Zeppelin. A song that has an impact even more so now than when it was written and sung many, many years ago, because it's about the immigration issue, the issue of illegal aliens, what Donald Trump, the president-elect, is going to do. And we've seen now six straight days of protests. That includes today, where thousands of people have taken to the streets. And protesters in Midtown just yesterday were waving signs in support of immigrants and chanting, "Hate won't make us great, and we are here to stay," in English and Spanish. Organizers said that they were speaking out against Trump's vow to deport millions of undocumented people living in the United States and other policies, very similar to what he told Leslie Stahl yesterday on 60 Minutes.
What about the pledge to deport millions and millions of undocumented immigrants?
What we are going to do is get the people that are criminal and have criminal records, gang members, drug dealers. We have a lot of these people, probably 2 million. It could even be 3 million. We're getting them out of our country, or we're going to incarcerate. But we're getting them out of our country. They're here illegally. After the border is secured and after everything gets normalized, we're going to make a determination on the people that you're talking about, who are terrific people. They're terrific people, but we're going to make a determination at that. But before we make that determination, Leslie, it's very important. We want to secure our border.
On the line to discuss that, Daniel Altshuler, Director of Civic Engagement and Research at Make the Road New York. Thanks for joining us on the Drive Home at 5, Danny.
Thanks for having me on the line, Chris.
First off, what exactly is Civic Engagement and Research at Make the Road New York?
So Make the Road New York is the largest grassroots immigrant organization in New York. We do work that involves getting people involved in their community to talk about the issues that matter most to them and to figure out how they want to work together to solve them.
Now, have they been participating in these many demonstrations that have been taking place since Donald Trump became our president-elect last Tuesday night?
Yes, our members were part of yesterday's demonstration. We were one of the lead organizations that organized 15,000 Latino immigrants and allied New Yorkers to take to the streets in Midtown to say we are here to stay.
Okay, so Donald Trump last night on 60 Minutes said that his goal, his focus, is to deport 2 to 3 million immigrants who are criminals, who have criminal records. He wants them out of the country. This might include members of MS-13, 18th Street street gangs, drug dealers, coyotes bringing illegals in, those involved in illegal activities. Do you have a problem with that aspect of his immigration program?
We've heard for 18 months, since the very first day of Donald Trump's campaign, his efforts to criminalize and vilify immigrants, referring to them as criminals and rapists. And we know these are false and they're offensive. And the message from yesterday was that immigrants are committing to strong resistance to an anti-immigrant platform that Trump is going to try to enact. Ultimately, folks should not be confused. What this platform is about separating immigrant families. He's going to continue to try to scapegoat immigrants as criminals and rapists. And this is just a continuation of this. What we know is this is about tearing parents from their children, dividing and devastating communities.
Okay, but if in fact in the initial stage, and we don't really know what he's going to do because he has said many things on many occasions about his immigration plans, but if in fact they were extricating known gang members who are terrorizing their own community, their own illegal alien, undocumented worker community, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Folks shouldn't be confused by what Donald Trump is trying to do. He's trying to paint all immigrant folks with the same brush as being criminals, as being rapists. and is devastating communities. What we know is this is about separating families. What we know is when people use this term of criminal alien, which Donald Trump is trying to do, and which others have done before, what it is ultimately doing is ensnaring communities, and most people who are touched by this enforcement activity are folks who have no prior contact with law enforcement or who have things like traffic violations. Again, this is about separating immigrant families. This is about tearing parents away from U.S. citizen children, away from dreamers and others who are here to learn and contribute to this country.
Right, but then
the message yesterday is that we're from yesterday is we're going to stand with these families and we're going to stand to make sure that communities can remain intact.
All right, but Daniel Altshuler, for instance, in our neck of the woods, there's a community, 60,000 in Suffolk County, Brentwood. There are six unsolved murders. All signs point to MS-13, a vicious street gang, many of whose members originally come from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. It is a sanctuary community, like many communities are sanctuary communities, including New York City, where I'm talking to you from, also New Jersey, across the Hudson River is a sanctuary state, in which law enforcement at the federal level, let's say immigration, La Migra, ICE, are not permitted to go into the county lockups or even on Rikers Island in New York City and question someone who is an illegal alien who has been charged with a crime. Don't you think that that kind of interference is unnecessary, particularly when they're trying to root out the evil that exists in all communities, but in this case, amongst the community that is being preyed upon by these violators?
So it's interesting you raise Brentwood, Curtis. We have an office there. I've worked for years out in Brentwood, Long Island. Know the community well. This is a community of immigrants. It's a strong and resilient community. And we've seen what happened in the 2000s was that you had a county administration that tried to be to work as much with ICE as possible and to separate immigrant families. What that did was it sowed fear and distrust between the community and local law enforcement. And we're still trying to work with local officials like the county executive in Suffolk County to repair the damage that was done in that period so that when we see things like the tragic circumstances that have taken place recently, so we can get to the bottom of them as quickly as possible. But what does not help is when we paint immigrants with the brush of criminals, rapists, and use these words, when what we know is that immigrants come to this country to work hard, to raise their families, and contribute to the economy. That's who they are. They are part of what makes this country great. And we have to stand with immigrant communities, and that was the message of yesterday. Folks are here to stay. No one is leaving, and we're going to be resilient and fight as Donald Trump tries to enact it.
Right. Well, Daniel, that was the message of the demonstrators out there, but the message of Donald Trump in the 60 Minutes interview, a comment was just made by our outgoing President Barack Obama, who said that he felt that Donald Trump is not an ideologue, not a hardcore ideologue. So a lot of the rhetoric you heard during the 18 months of the campaign, you need to negate because he's more of a pragmatist. Now, those are not my words. Those are the words of one of his key adversaries in this campaign, the President Barack Obama.
One of the other messages from yesterday is that we are not going to allow hate and intolerance to be normalized in our political discourse. We've heard 18 months of someone vilifying immigrants, Muslims, women, and communities of color. And to suggest that one can simply win an election and then start anew and that folks shouldn't have heard anything that he said during the campaign is preposterous.
All right, well, now
take it very seriously. And what he said yesterday, Curtis, is that he's planning, one of his first things that he plans to do is to devastate immigrant communities.
All right, but
he's talking about enacting his agenda.
I want you to listen to him as he tried to calm the fears of Americans, whether they were born and raised here or immigrants or illegals.
When they demonstrate against you and there are signs out there, I mean, don't you say to yourself, I guess you don't, you know, do I have to worry about this? Do I have to go out and assuage them? Do I have to tell them not to be afraid? They're afraid.
I would tell them don't be afraid. Absolutely.
But that's not what you're saying. I said it.
Oh, I think, no, I think I'm saying it. I've been saying it.
Okay.
Don't be afraid.
And many Americans are suggesting, Daniel, you give this president-elect an opportunity to prove himself, or is your course of action going to be continue to put boots on the ground and continue to protest?
What we are saying is that this is a president who said that immigrant families need to be torn apart. He said that Muslims should not be allowed in this country. He's continued to ridicule women, and we are not going to stand by this. This is not the normal course of events of a transition to a president-elect. And we are on guard about his efforts to enact what is a hateful agenda. We saw it yesterday in the 60 Minutes interview, where he talked immediately about deporting and separating the family, separating millions of families, and we're going to continue to see it. We just saw him name Steve Bannon to be his chief strategist, somebody who's run Breitbart, which is an institution that has run no shortage of deeply offensive headlines that ridicule women, that ridicule Jews, that ridicule Muslims, that ridicule immigrants. This is a very scary time, and folks are going to continue to mobilize and organize to make sure that this radical and hateful agenda cannot be enacted.
To appreciate that, Daniel Altshuler. He's director of civic engagement and research at Make the Road New York. They've been part of the many groups participating in these daily demonstrations. As I've said, as a veteran who has observed many demonstrations over the years, going back to the anti-war years of the Vietnam War era, these folks, in my opinion, are not going to run out of gas because they hate Donald Trump. And hate is a driving force. And I know many of you are saying, hey, when it's 30 degrees below zero and you got three pairs of long winter underwear on and you're scratching, you know, because you scratch from winter underwear, you'll see they'll retire into their comfortable homes and into their dorms. I don't think so.
Curtis Sliwa, the deepest knowledge of the city. The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
You're sampling.
Gee, almost can see Tina Turner singing this song to all the Trumpers and Trumpets. The unexpected elevation of their candidate over 18 months, Donald Trump, into the presidency. In fact, there's a story out there that suggests that he didn't even think he was going to make it past October and was prepared to endorse Christie and vice versa. It was almost like a non-compete agreement in advance. But on the line celebrating that victory is Mercedes Schlapp, Trump supporter, Fox News contributor, and the former director of specialty media for President George W. Bush in the White House. Thanks for joining us on the Drive Home at 5, Mercedes.
Thank you for having me.
So does it feel like you're actually driving a Mercedes now instead of a demolition derby reject or like a lot of the Hillary Clinton supporters, a rent-a-wreck?
Well, I have to tell you, it was quite the unexpected surprise of last week. I think just watching so many in the media just be in complete utter shock with the election results, I think has been fascinating to watch. I mean, how many times did we hear in the mainstream media, well, it's the beginning of the end for Donald Trump, and he was able to just hone in on an important message that so many in the working class could relate to, which was that of it's about the American worker. It's about those individuals who have been left behind in this economy. It's about they're tired of the government and Obama pointing their finger at them and telling them how they should live their lives and what they need to do. And the fact is that Trump was able to just understand where the American voter was at.
And no, I recognize all of that, and obviously all the post-polling data is proving that. Everyone was a dollar short and a day late in catching up to that. But I got to tell you, Mercedes, I didn't vote for Hillary, but I didn't vote for Trump. But one issue that resonated with me, in which I would listen to Donald Trump on the stump at as many town hall meetings, was when he would say he would move to press for criminal charges against Hillary if he got elected president, and then the crowd would respond, lock her up, lock her up. And then last night with Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes, I heard something else.
You called her crooked Hillary, said you wanted to get in jail. Your people and your audiences kept saying lock him up.
Yeah. Well,
She did some bad things. Special prosecutor?
I don't want to hurt them. They're good people. I don't want to hurt them. And I will give you a very, very good and definitive answer the next time we do 60 Minutes together.
Now, hold your horses there, Mercedes. They're good people, Bill and Hillary. I mean, they're both crooks and liars.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously for Hillary Clinton, how she managed her campaign, not only how she managed her campaign, but pretty much how she managed her foundation, how she managed the foundation mixed up with while she was Secretary of State. You know, these are huge problems, and it was very clear I think for the American voter, that it's why they didn't trust her. And that's why, that despite all the qualifications that she could fit in a resume, it wasn't enough to hand over the presidency to her. I mean, I just think if Hillary Clinton would have become president, it would have been moments of, before we know it, hearings for impeachment, or the fact that we would still be dealing with FBI investigations into the Clinton Foundation. The truth is, she brought this upon herself. I know that the Clinton campaign wants to blame James Comey, the FBI director. They want to blame the media. But the reality is that this was a, you know, what Hillary Clinton did and the mistakes she made was clearly because of the fact that she was, as Comey said, extremely careless.
Okay, okay. And I'm more than happy to see if the president-elect Donald Trump will address this later on in his term. But he said something last night that struck me as a bit odd, and I think supporters of Donald Trump might have also wondered what he meant by this.
Are you going to sometimes have that same rhetoric that you had on the stump, or are you going to rein it in?
Sometimes you need a certain rhetoric to get people motivated. I don't want to be just a little nice monotone character. And in many cases, I will be. Sure I can. I can be easily. That's easier. Honestly, doing that is easier.
Now, Mercedes, what does Donald Trump mean when he says you need a certain rhetoric to get people motivated? Is he saying you need to embellish? You need to go over the top? You need to sort of fire them up, like with slogans, lock her up, lock her up? It would almost seem to me like he's starting to backtrack on some of these issues.
Look, I think Trump will be Trump. I think he realizes the enormity of taking on the presidency, and he spoke very clearly that his job will be to unite this country, and it's not going to be easy. Obviously, we're seeing so many individuals, Democrats, who are not only in shock, but are obviously have not recovered from this election, and it's going to take time. I think that for Donald Trump, he is who he is, and I think that there's a lot of it that has been a good thing to shake up this political stagnation that we have seen, the status quo, the fact that he is not owned by special interests, that he is pretty much going to be a man who's going to run on his issues, and that's going to include immigration reform, tax reform, ensuring that we renegotiate the trade deals, being a presence of strength on the world stage, something that we haven't seen under President Obama. And
right.
I think all of those are positive qualities to have.
We will certainly see Mercedes Schlapp, who is a big-time Trump supporter, Fox News contributor, and the former specialty media person for President Bush 43. But I got to tell you, to me, after having survived this ordeal, this presidential campaign, as many of you have, I've been lied to by both candidates over and over again. Except now, Donald Trump is the president-elect, and he's still lying to me, like he is to all of you.
Deep connections.
I really think it's free speech.
Deep understanding.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Aquanamai, Uyorndugorn. Those of you who know the Italian body dialect know exactly what I'm saying. But this is the theme song for Andrew Evilized Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, who seems to have been revived, resurrected, with the unexpected outcome that a fellow Queens resident who grew up nearby him, Donald Trump, is now the president-elect. On the line to discuss that, Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Daily News, New York's hometown newspaper. Thanks for joining us on the Drive Home at 5 again, Ken.
It's good to be here.
Say it ain't so. I can't believe this. You mean in Democratic hallways around the country, as people are sitting shiver for the 7 days since last Tuesday, they're actually uttering the names of the Cherokee woman, Elizabeth Warren, our mayor, well, actually your mayor, or maybe those of you who voted for him, Comrade Bill de Blasio, and Andrew Evilized Cuomo, these guys were on their political deathbed.
Well, look, especially the governor was dealing with a lot of issues involving involving people close to him who have been charged criminally, but it took Hillary Clinton's defeat to all of a sudden that Andrew Cuomo is being discussed for 2020.
But which Andrew Cuomo are we going to see? Because I've seen him morph. I've seen him morph from the moderate to Democrat in the, sort of the mold of Bill Clinton when he rose up through the Democratic ranks as the governor of Little Rock, Arkansas. Then I've seen him try to snatch the liberal progressive agenda from Mayor de Blasio. Which one will we see now, if in fact he's serious about pursuing this Democratic nomination in 4 years?
I think you'll see the socially progressive, fiscally, quote-unquote, conservative Cuomo that we've seen, especially if the Republicans hold on to the state Senate, which seems more likely. We were going to see a slew of proposals that the governor will probably still push but probably won't get done, whether it's campaign finance reform, the DREAM Act that allows for state-funded college tuition assistance for undocumented immigrants, whole host of issues that he hasn't been able to get through because of the Republican Senate. Most people thought that the Democrats would take the Senate this year. At this point, it's still up in the air, although it doesn't look like there's going to be much of a change. And if there is no change, the governor will pivot back to his conservative fiscal self and you know, talk about stuff he can't get through the Senate.
All right, but can't love it. Donald Trump proved to have coattails. He not only got elected, but obviously the Senate majority, the House majority, unprecedented for most presidents when they get into office. He's got the full deck on his side. But this time, Governor Cuomo went out and actually campaigned for Democrats, trying to unseat Republicans in the state Senate to gain control, and he failed miserably, correct?
He did. He did campaign more than he ever did. He helped them raise money. He did individual fundraisers for a couple of specific lawmakers. Now, there are those on the left who, of course, say he could have done more. They're always going to say that. But he certainly was out there in a way we had never seen before. So that was a problem for him that they lost. The Republicans are not happy with him. And with Donald Trump from New York in the White House, and if Cuomo is seriously considering a run for in 2020 for president against Donald Trump, then you might see the Senate Republicans who are already mad at him, the state Senate Republicans, for trying to unseat them. Maybe they try to do curry favor with the new president and start blocking even more of what the governor wants to do, try to damage him a little bit on behalf of the president.
Very quickly, Ken Lovett, this Friday, a number of Democrats and Republicans in the state of New York, the most corrupt in the nation, will be lighting their Chavez candles, whether they're Jews and Gentiles, hoping that when Preet Bharara, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District, hands in his resignation, as all U.S. attorneys do with the election of a new president, that Donald Trump will not ask him to sit on. What's your gut reaction to what Donald Trump will probably do with the number one corruption buster of all U.S. attorneys throughout the United States, Preet Bharara?
I was told by someone high up in the campaign before the election day that he is seriously considering asking Bharara to stay. I don't think Bharara would. I think Bharara is likely done. If he has political ambitions, as a lot of people think, he's not going to want to work for a Republican president that Democrats despise. And even if he doesn't, I don't know if he wants to work for this president. So, you know, it's not uncommon for U.S. attorneys to be gone by 8 years in, which he is. So even if Trump wants to keep him, I doubt he'll stay.
Do appreciate that, Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief of the New York Daily News. And I can assure you there will be Republicans and Democrats on both sides of the crooked aisles that they exist in politics in New York State, who will be dancing the hora and the tarantella if, in fact, Preet Bharara is no longer U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, the number one corruption buster, bar none. And that would be a shanda. That would be u disgrazia.
The Drive at 5, on the air, on the app. Curtis Sliwa, live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
Hot 54 on the drive home at 5. Oh, I remember the Swanston TV dinners, you know, turkey and mash, that I used to live off like so many other people out there. But it's a perfect song from ZZ Top and to the annual campaign that we here at 770 WABC have been regular participants in, the annual City Harvest campaign. And here to discuss it with us is Matthew Lum, manager of the food sourcing for City Harvest. Matthew, what exactly does City Harvest do?
So City Harvest helps feed the nearly 1.4 million New Yorkers that face hunger every day.
And how do people get the food from City Harvest? So, you know, people are used to going to food banks, or they see churches involved, different philanthropic organizations. How do you get that food to the needy? And who are those needy people?
Yeah, so we pick up from over 2,500 food donors throughout the city, and we distribute over to the food pantries and soup kitchens, close to about 500 of them throughout the city.
So you facilitate the exchange of the food, let's say, from a restaurant or a wholesale or retail operation to get it to the people who need it, who show up at the pantries.
Yes, exactly.
Now, how can our listeners participate? Because I know here we have the bins that are put up each year in which management is urging our workers at all our stations, all four of the Cumulus family-owned and operated stations, to bring in like canned goods and other goods. What specific goods are you looking for?
So some of our most desired items include canned fruits and vegetables, canned proteins, peanut butter, macaroni and cheese, hot and cold cereals. So those are definitely the most desirable ones.
And when they go in that bin, then what happens? Because I've seen these bins in other locations, firehouses and other facilities. What happens to that food?
So then the firehouses or police stations will give us a call. Our truck will come pick it up, and we distribute it to those that need it right away.
And specifically, what can you tell us about the needs in the New York City area now of people who are seeking to get supplemental food?
Yeah, so again, it's nearly 1.4 million New Yorkers that need this food, and that also includes 420,000 children.
And so that would mean they would show up and they might get a shopping bag filled with different provisions to hold them over, like from week to week?
Yeah, so it could be that, or they could be going for a hot meal at a soup kitchen. It's incredible the amount of New Yorkers that aren't able to put food on the table consistently.
So if it's a single able-bodied man or a single able-bodied woman or a family, whether it's single parent with children or what we consider a full family with a father and mother, how do they qualify for this? Do they just show up, or do they have to be vetted out to make sure they're not scamming the process?
Right. I mean, a lot of soup kitchens, they tend to, I guess, accept who's in line. Not totally sure about the food pantries. That's not really my wheelhouse. Mine is more on the food donor side of things.
So how can they get more information if they'd like to participate in the City Harvest program, which we're one of the sponsors of?
Yep. So cityharvest.org. We have a food drive section of the website, and they can find more information there.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've worked for years with the former program director of the Daily News, John Campy, on City Harvest. It's a great cause. Participate.